This is Luke, my pastor at Walnut Creek Church downtown. We're so glad that you found this resource, and we hope that it strengthens and encourages your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do want to remind you, this is not to take place of gathering with God's people on Sunday morning. It is just a resource. And so if you don't have a home church, we'd love to invite you to Walnut Creek Church downtown. You can find more information about the church in the description, as well as our other locations in the Des Moines area. And if you're not in the Des Moines area, we'd encourage you to find a gospel preaching church. Again, we hope that you are strengthened and encouraged in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as you listen to this message.
Well, leading into the summer of my sophomore year of high school, I heard these words that many kids hear from their parents' mouths: you need to get a job. And my dad said it was time to get a job. I was about 15 years old, and when my dad uttered those words to me, I'll never forget that day. My dad didn't just kind of leave it at that, like, hey, you need to go get a job, but he told me where I could go get a job. He said, you can apply for a job at JHS, Johnson High School. I was the principal there, my mom was a teacher there, and I was a student there, and they were hiring some summer help. They needed some students to move classrooms, move furniture, move things between buildings, do some painting, basically some manual labor. And from that point on, I have worked. I've had a job. And the average American adult between 25 and 54, if you look at just that age range, will work almost 39 hours per week, about 8 hours a day, and just over 2,000 hours per year. Now, people say if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. But the reality is you'll work a lot of days, over 100,000 hours in your lifetime. And so you'll spend about one-third of your life at work. Think about that. One-third of our life is given to our jobs, given to our work. Now, why does that matter? Well, because work is a large part of our lives. We spend ton of time working, and that work, that means work has a huge impact on our lives. Think about all the stress that comes from our jobs, the stress of meeting deadlines, of the responsibilities that we have, the relationships at our jobs, the energy and time it takes to perform our job, to work with the people that we're around, to develop those relationships, to solve problems, whatever it might be. And so work can be stressful. Work takes lots of time and energy. Work has wear and tear on our bodies, physically and emotionally. And when you think about work, when it comes to work, when it comes to the Bible, God has a lot to say about our jobs, a lot to say about work, how we should be involved in our work, how we should think about our work. And this morning, I want to address the topic of work by looking at two myths from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that I believe are prevalent then, but also prevalent in our culture today. And I know many of you are students, and some of you stay at home with your kids, but these principles apply. Whether you're a student, whether you're a homemaker, whether you're out in the workplace, these principles apply to your life. And so two myths about work. Myth number one, work doesn't matter to God. My work doesn't matter to God. Though there are many areas of life that Paul praised the Thessalonians for, working was not one of them. He's talking to them about loving one another, and he says that they're loving one another, but he's encouraged them to do that even more. And then in verse 11, he says, to seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands. That work was a shortcoming in the lives of the Thessalonians. Why? Why were they not working? Well, there's speculation, but many commentators believe that Thessalonians had stopped working because they believed that Jesus was going to return. They thought Christ was going to come back in their lifetime. The Bible tells us, God tells us that he is going to return, that Christ is going to come back to judge the world. And they thought Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. And so they decided, we don't need to work. The thinking goes like this: if Christ is going to return, then why work? Why work? We don't need to work. And our work doesn't matter. God doesn't care about our work if he's going to come back. So they just stopped working. They got out their folding chairs, grabbed a drink, and sat back waiting for Jesus to come back on the clouds. Now, I'm unaware of anyone, or any of us, rather, I should say, who's given up their job thinking that their job doesn't matter because Jesus is going to return. But I do know many who question, does God care about my job? Does my job matter to God? Does my work matter to him? They struggle with believing that their jobs matter to God. Back at Johnson High School, I worked there for quite a few years in the summer times when I was a student in high school and in college, and I did all kinds of things. I think I painted almost every wall in the entire school district. I was like the resident painter, so I spent much of my time painting walls, and I had to go into classrooms, and I had to deal with teachers who had, they stapled things all over the walls. So there's holes all over the wall that I had to fill, and then I had to paint. One summer, I drove around a truck filled with, I had a trailer, truck and trailer, and had a 500-gallon water tank on the back of it. And I filled that thing up, and I would drive it around the entire district, watering all the trees that were planted in the district, the new trees planted. I spent my whole summer just driving around watering trees or mulching trees. And when you think about it, does God really care about me painting walls, mulching trees, or cleaning bathrooms? Which, contrary to popular belief, women's bathrooms are way worse than the men's bathrooms, I'll tell you. I learned that. One of the things I did learn in that job. But you can look at some of these tasks, some of these responsibilities, some of the jobs that I had or you have, and you wonder, does God really care about my work? Does he care about my job in the office where I'm just on a computer all day crunching numbers? Does he care about my job as a waiter or waitress serving food? Does he care about me and care about my work? And what can happen is we begin to wonder, we answer that question with the answer, no. That we begin to think, God doesn't really care about my work. And so we look at our jobs as more of a necessary evil, something that we just have to do, something that we need to do in order to get to the weekend, right? We're working for the weekend, but not that something that is good and necessary and pleasing to God. See, God cares about your work. He cares deeply about your job, but how or why? How do we know our work matters to God? Well, there's a number of ways to answer that question. I would just give you two truths from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Truth number one is this. How do we know God cares about our work? Because God has designed us to work. God has designed you and I to work. It was the sixth day of creation. God creates the world in 6 days, and on the last day, God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God created man. He created woman in his likeness. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God creates Adam and he's in the garden. He says, the Lord took the man, placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. To work it. God made Adam. We're told that God places Adam in the garden in which God had made. And he tells Adam, Adam, here's what I want you to do. Do you see all this? I want you to work and watch over what I have created. I want you to work and watch over what I have created. That God cares about your work. And when did this work happen? When did this happen? When was Adam given this responsibility? Well, it was before the fall. See, work came before Adam and Eve rebelled, not after. See, work is not the result of sin, but rather work is a part of the original design for humanity. God has designed us to work. As one pastor put it, it's right there in the Bible, plain as day. God created you to work. And God doesn't stop here with Adam. He starts out telling Adam to tend the garden, to work in the garden, but God has more in mind. In fact, in back to chapter 1, he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, every creature that crawls on the ground. That Adam's dominion over the garden was to be expanded or was expanded into dominion over the whole earth. They were to produce offspring, teaching them to work, to rule over all of creation. And this language of subduing and ruling mirrors what God did in creation, turning chaos into order, that Adam and Eve were to turn the whole earth into the garden of God. How? Well, through their effort, through concerted effort, through work. Theologians call that the cultural mandate. God is mandating that humans will create culture, that Adam and Eve were to produce children who would create families. Those families would come together to create cities and social networks. These networks of human beings would reflect all of the aspects of human life and culture. And see, God took Adam and made him, placed him in the garden and said, work it. See, you and I are designed to work. Work was something that is inherent to who we are, how God has created us, what he has created us to do. And so, does God care about your work? Of course he does. He designed you to work. He created you to work. Truth number two, when we work, we reflect God's image, which pleases God. What do you think about God? God tells us in verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so he created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God made you and me in his image and likeness. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things, but one thing it means is that we work like God worked. God is a working God, a creating God. Genesis chapter 2, on the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for he rested from all his work of creation. What did God do? God worked, God created, God produced. So what happens when we work, when we create, when we produce? We're reflecting the image of God. We are bearing God's image that is in us, that we are glorifying God through our work. And what does God say? This is good and pleasing to him. He looks at his creation and he looks at the responsibility that he gave Adam and Eve to work the garden, to watch over it. And he says, this is good. This is pleasing. And see, when you're at your job and you're crunching numbers on a spreadsheet, or when you're counseling another person, you're changing someone's diaper, or you're studying for a class, you're serving someone food, you're in a business meeting trying to close a deal, God, you are reflecting the image of God in your work. You are like God, and God cares about your work. Brothers and sisters, he cares about our work because he has designed us to be workers, to be producers, to be makers. And when we work, we reflect God's image in us. And this brings honor and glory to him. God cares about your work. Myth number two is work doesn't matter to the kingdom of God. Work doesn't matter to the kingdom of God, meaning there's no relationship between our work and between God's kingdom, the advancement of his kingdom. That we can treat our jobs like they're totally separate from the kingdom of God. Work is something we look at as physical, and the kingdom of God is spiritual. Work is something that is temporal, while the kingdom of God is eternal in our minds. In other words, what we think is we think the spiritual things are reading God's word, praying, sharing the gospel, serving the church, being a missionary, being in full-time ministry. Those are the things that really matter because those things we deem as, quote, spiritual. But my job, my work, it doesn't matter because it's not spiritual. It's not bearing, has no bearing on the kingdom of God, has nothing spiritual to do with it. That real work is these other things, and everything else is just secondary to it. That we separate what theologians have called the sacred, this division of the sacred and the secular. That we look at the world in these two divisions, we compartmentalize our work, and we think work is secular, and the other things, reading my Bible, praying, going to church, that is sacred, but they don't overlap. That the secular does not overlap with the sacred. Now, when we think this way about our jobs, when we create this separation, compartmentalize our work, and act as though work does not matter to the kingdom of God, this produces a number of problems in our life. What problems does this way of thinking produce? Well, at least four. There's probably plenty more, but four for the sake of time. One is bad attitude towards our work. We can have a bad attitude about our jobs, that our job is just a necessary evil. Just something that I have to do. And so we go to our jobs not having a good attitude, and we complain about our jobs, we grumble about our jobs, we complain about other coworkers, we complain about the work that we have to do, that we just see it as a necessary evil, that we have this bad attitude about our work. Second is that we are lazy at our jobs. What can happen is we create this division, and we say it's the sacred and the secular, that work is physical. And then there's a spiritual aspect of everything else where they don't overlap, is that we can become lazy in our jobs. It justifies us not working hard, slacking at our work. We can think, I don't need to do this, or I don't need to do this very well. We're not excellent at our jobs. Instead, we use our time in ways that are probably inappropriate, misusing or wasting our company's time and money. I talk to people, you know, regularly about their jobs and life, and it's amazing how many people spend so much time just surfing the internet at their job, on social media at their job. They're like, they talk about coworkers who they kind of walk into their cubicle or wherever they're on their computer, and they're just doing something totally different that's totally disconnected from their work. But oftentimes, we can justify our laziness, not working hard, not being excellent at our jobs, when we don't see that our jobs actually matter to the kingdom of God. They matter. Third is we have an inaccurate view of ourself. We have an inaccurate view of ourself. If we think that the real work is, quote, serving God, and then there's everything else, those who are in a position who maybe they are serving God or they're in ministry, full-time, part-time, whatever, you can act as though you're somehow better than those who are not. But more than likely, what can happen is the other way around, is that we look at our job, the secular job that we have, and we think the real work is serving God. And what can happen is we can feel this sense of guilt for the job that we have, or the sense of I'm missing it, I'm missing out. That we have a low view of ourselves and our work as though our work doesn't matter. Because our work doesn't matter, I don't matter. I'm missing out on what God wants me to do. And we become discontent with our jobs. Or fourth, we can use our job as just a platform for evangelism. Now, I don't mean that your job can't be a place to where you can witness, but we try to make our job spiritual. We say, we look at it and we think this is just physical. We know that there's the spiritual realm, there's the physical realm, and we're trying to say, okay, I need to make my job matter. I need to use my job in the best way possible, so I'm just going to share the gospel with my coworkers. And so we start using our job in a way just to simply to share the gospel. And we don't look at our job as, my employer has hired me to do some specific thing. In fact, if you ask your employer, did you hire me to share the gospel? They're going to say, no, we did not hire you to do that. We hired you to do this. But in an attempt to make our job feel like it matters, that it has some impact in the kingdom of God, we can just turn it into a place where all we're doing, all we're concerned about is just sharing the gospel with our coworkers. Now, again, we should be concerned with that, but there's an appropriate way to go about that. And oftentimes people kind of look at their boss like, what's they're being persecuted because they're sharing the gospel, and their boss is like, we didn't hire you to do that. And so there's all these different things that can come out of this inappropriate thinking of when we think that God doesn't care or our work doesn't matter to the kingdom of God. But the truth of the matter is this, is God is at work in your work. When you think about your job, you should think God is at work in your work. Now, this is not original to me. It comes from a man named Gene Vith, who wrote a book called God at Work. And he does a great job of talking through and thinking about work in life as Christians and our vocation as believers in Christ. But God is at work in your work. In other words, our work relates to God. God is involved in our work. Our work is not simply just this physical thing over here, this secular thing over here, but it crosses with the sacred. It's not lesser than or unimportant to the kingdom of God, because God is using your work to accomplish many of his purposes. Well, how? How is God at work in your work? How is he at work in your work? Well, at least three ways that we see that God is at work in our work from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The first one is this, is God uses your work to serve others. God uses your work to serve and bless others. The command that Paul gives the Thessalonians to work with your own hands sits in a particular context. And the context that it sits in is in this idea of loving one another. Verse 9, about brotherly love, Paul says. About brotherly love. And he commends them for how they are loving one another. But he says, I want you to do this even more. And then he gives this instruction in verse 11, seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands. Well, how does our work operate to love and serve others? How does God use your job to love and serve others? What's the connection here? Well, there's many ways to think about this and connect it, but Martin Luther did this kind of experiment, mental experiment. The Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, one of the things we pray is we ask God to give us our daily bread. We're praying, God, would you provide for my needs today? Would you give me my daily bread? The simplest things in life, the things that I need, food. Now, you ask the question, how does it get there? How does the bread, the food, get to the table in your home for you to eat? Just think about this for one moment, just one piece of fruit. How many people are involved in order for one bit of food to get into your home? There's the farmers who are tilling the soil, who plant the seed, who are watering the seed. The seed begins to grow and it produces fruit. Then there are those who are harvesting the fruit. And they're loading it into trucks, tractors. They're driving it back somewhere to box it. There's people boxing it. They load those boxes then onto trucks. And those trucks are then driven to a store. And then at that store, someone unloads those boxes of fruit. And those boxes of fruit are unloaded in the store by another worker who puts the fruit onto the shelf. And then you come along and you pick up the fruit. And you go to the cash register. And there's someone at the cash register who is checking you out to buy the fruit. And then there's all these things going on behind all of that. The bankers or investors, agricultural scientists or mechanical engineers involved in the tractors and whatnot to plant the seed and to harvest the crop. And to get one piece of fruit to your table goes through many people's hands. And so how does God answer the prayer, give us our daily bread? Well, he's using people. He's using people. Now, God could do whatever he wants. He could just rain it from the sky as he did with Israel in the Exodus. He rains manna from the sky. He just drops it onto the ground. But God has not chosen to operate that way. He's working through human beings who in their different capacities and have different talents, he's using our capacities and talents, our skills to serve each other. That your job, God is using your work to serve and bless others. And some of that, sometimes it's more obvious to us. Like if you're like, for example, you're a plumber and someone calls you and says, hey, I have a leak in a pipe, and you come over and you fix that pipe. It's an act of service to that person. You're loving and blessing that person through your job. And sometimes it's not quite as obvious how that connection is made. But see, God is using your job to serve and bless others in so many ways. In fact, Gene Vithe, he says, when God blesses, he almost always does it through other people. God is at work in your work to bless others. Plus, when you think about your job, not only is your job in a way serving other people, but what happens when you work? Well, you receive an income, money. You earn money. You get money from your job. They pay you. And you think about it, this is important when it comes to the family of Christ. That we are a community. The church is a community of family. And we are to take care of one another. And there's going to be times when we have needs, financial needs. Situations where things come up and we're in need for someone financially. And what can happen then is your income, the money you earn from your job, can be used to meet that need in somebody else's life. You know, God is not just having us work to make money, simply just to stockpile money, to have more money. Now, it's fine to have money, but he wants to use what we have to share with others, to bless others who are in need. And there are many times in our church and situations where someone who has more is giving to someone who has less. That God is using their job to bless and serve somebody else who's maybe in a position that has a tough time, a tough situation financially. And so our jobs are directly connected to serving and loving other people. And what is the kingdom of God? Well, what's central in the kingdom of God is loving others, serving others. And our jobs, God is using our work to bless many other people. Second, God uses your work to provide for your own needs. Part of the issue in Thessalonica, these believers weren't working. And what many commentators think is they stopped working and just lived off the other Christians in the church. They're wealthier believers in the church, and so these other Christians stopped working and they just lived off, they were dependent on the wealthier believers. As one commentator put it, they were shamelessly exploiting the charity of wealthier Christians. And so Paul says to them, you need to work with your own hands. You need to work with your own hands. Why? Verse 12, so that you may not, or you will not be dependent on anyone. You won't be dependent on anyone. See, these Christians who weren't working, and they were dependent on the other believers. One way of putting it is they were just mooching off of the wealthier saints. They were using these believers to have their needs met, as opposed to working to see their needs met. And that was not loving. Paul's saying this is not the way you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. See, one of the ways that we love our brother and sister in Christ or serve one another is by working, because God uses our jobs to meet our own needs. So we're not dependent on one another, using one another. That oftentimes what happens is people just use others. They're lazy and irresponsible, and they're using someone else to meet their needs. But God says, no, there's a way for your needs to be met. And the way for your needs to be met is that you work. You work. God is using your work to meet your own needs. In fact, this was such a problem that Paul in 2 Thessalonians, he warns the church. He says to them in verse 10, in fact, in 2 Thessalonians 3, in fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. He's trying to help them understand this connection. No, your job, it's important to work because God is using it to provide for you. Do you want to eat? Then you need to work. That our work is a way for us, for our needs in our own life to be met, so that we're not dependent on anyone, using others, taking advantage of one another, but that we also have something to give when there are people who are genuinely in need. Third, God is at work. God uses your work in your witness. God uses your work in your witness. Second, or again, back to 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, work with your own hands so that you may behave properly in the presence of outsiders. Outsiders, meaning who are the outsiders? Non-Christians. As I said earlier, our work in one sense is not just a platform for evangelism. Like we're just going to work just to share the gospel with people at the expense of doing our work. That's not why your employer probably hired you, but that doesn't mean that your work doesn't have an impact on your witness, your testimony. Again, some of these believers were shamelessly exploiting the charity of these wealthier Christians in the church. And at that time period, in the first century Greco-Roman environment, that would have been a disgraceful thing to do. Non-believers would have looked at that and they would have said, that is terrible. Who are you? What are you doing? They would have looked at that with disdain, just like we would today in our own culture. And so this not working and this being lazy, being idle, would have had an impact, a negative impact on their testimony to the outside world. I mean, could you imagine if this church, if this church had a bunch of believers who weren't working and they're just mooching off of others? I mean, that doesn't bode well for the church's witness to the outside world. And Paul is concerned about their witness. Paul is concerned about their testimony. See, you are here on earth to be a witness, to testify to the reality of Christ, what Jesus has done, that he has come and he has died in your place to pay for your sin, that there's a way for you to be reconciled to God, and that's through Jesus. But see, our life, the way we live, it impacts our testimony. It impacts whether or not people are going to take us seriously when we open our mouths about Christ. Brothers and sisters, how you work matters. It matters to your witness, your gospel witness to the outside world, to your coworkers. And not just that if you have a job or not, but how you approach your job, how you work at your job. Just think about your own life. This is not to make any of us feel guilty, but just think, what's your attitude like at work? What is your attitude like at your job? Are you someone who's always complaining? You're always grumbling? Oh, man, I have to do this again. Or you're talking about that person, your coworker, gossiping, slandering, complaining about your boss. I mean, how easy is it to complain about, you know, your boss with your coworkers? Are you known for not working hard? Are you known for not getting your work done, or even if you get it done, that it's not done well? What is your attitude and your character like at your job? See, what our attitudes and character is like at our job, Paul is directly connecting that to our testimony about Christ. That when we open our mouths, people will not take us seriously if our life does not match up, if our character is out of whack. Now, I'm not saying we have to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin in our jobs. There's no question about that. But we should be the best workers, the hardest workers. That Paul wants to connect our gospel witness and testimony to our work. I remember in college, when I was at Drake, I was taking a final in psychology, and it was my senior year, second semester of my senior year. I had a lot of senioritis going on, and I was going to go on staff, and I fell into this trap a little bit of thinking about school doesn't matter, because when I'm done, I'm going to go on staff and on church, and it just doesn't matter. And so I really didn't care a whole lot about college, which is, if you knew me, was quite opposite to how my character, how I was typically throughout most of my college years. And so I came to this final in psychology. And I remember it was not a multiple choice final. It was like you had to write out the answers on the test. And I started reading these questions, and I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I'm lost for a blank. I don't know. So I just try to fill some things in. And I got this idea. I thought, well, you know what? At least what I can do is I can redeem the time by sharing the gospel on the test. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write out the gospel throughout the course of the test. And so I wrote at the top of the page. Each page led to this next thing. And I wrote out the gospel on my test. And I thought that was a pretty good idea. I was like, well, I don't know the answers to the test. So at least I can make use of the paper that I'm writing on. And I'll just share the gospel with my professor. And I look back and I think, what an idiot. What an idiot. Like, why would you listen to what I have to say when I left half the test blank? I mean, I look back and I think, oh man, I so much shame. Like, what a fool I was. And we can do that with our jobs. We're not connecting how we work, our attitude and our behavior with our witness. And so we go to share the gospel, open up our mouth, and people look at us and they're like, what? What? You're a Christian? You're a Christian? And so, brothers and sisters, we want to connect our work to our witness. See, God is at work in our work. He wants to use our work to advance his kingdom by loving and serving others, by providing for our own needs so we're not a burden to others, and by impacting our witness and testimony to a non-believing world. When we work hard and we're the best workers, I'm not saying that people will listen to us, but it's not going to work against us. In closing, how does God then want us to go about our work? How does God want us to go about our work? Just one thought here is this: work as though you are working for Christ. Work as though you are working for Christ. What do I mean? Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as you would Christ." As you would Christ. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord, not to people. We should work, do our work, unto the Lord. We should work, in other words, as though Jesus is our boss. As Jesus is our boss. That he's the one whom we're working for, because that is reality. That's the one whom we are to be working for. And see, if we work as though Jesus is our boss, if we work unto the Lord, then what will happen? What will happen? Well, you won't work only while you're being watched. You will have integrity in your work. See, what God wants is he wants there to be integrity in our work. And part of integrity in our work is that we're doing the right thing even when no one is standing there to watch us do it. We're doing our job, whatever that is. We're not just on our phones, paying attention to whatever's happening on social media. We're not distracted with other things, but we're doing what we've been hired to do. And we're not simply doing it to get our boss to like us, but we're doing it because it's the right thing to do before God. We want to honor God. I remember when I was at Johnston High School working there, I found myself and my coworkers plenty of times not working, when our boss was not around. There's this nice high jump mat that was underneath the stadium, football stadium, and it was a really nice place to go and take a nap during the afternoon after you'd just eaten some Hy-Vee Chinese for lunch, which I ate like every single day, because back then it was like $3.99 for all you could eat. I don't know what it is today. But that doesn't make you a better worker, I'll tell you that much. It makes you lazy. And we go lay down there, and we could see our boss when he'd drive up to the parking lot. Then we just quickly get up, and we'd act like we're doing something. And we did that all the time. Why? Because it was about when our boss is around, then we'll work. It wasn't about working for Christ. And see, when you're working for Christ, you're not concerned if your boss is there or not. You're concerned about Jesus being, or working in a way that's honoring and pleasing to Jesus. You just ever ask that question, Jesus, if Jesus was here right by me, how would I work? What should I be doing right now? See, if you work unto Christ, then your attitude will be different. The way you treat your coworkers will be different. How you work, your work ethic will be excellent. I'm not saying you're not going to struggle, that your job's not going to be hard, there's not going to be difficult days, there's not going to be things that you just don't understand or how to do, but here's the deal. You will work hard. You will be excellent. You'll be excellent. As Christians, we should be the best workers, not because we're the smartest, the most talented, the most gifted, but because we are working as though we're working for Christ, because ultimately, that's what we are doing. That every area of our life is to be done unto Christ. And as you do so, as you work unto Him, what you realize is that work is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. Work is a way in which we worship Christ. The question just is, are we worshiping Christ well or not? Are we doing our jobs in a way that's honoring to Christ or not? But see, if we approach our jobs as my job, I'm working unto Christ. This is an act of worship to Jesus. Our behavior, our attitude will all fall in line. Brothers and sisters, our greatest desire should be to please Christ as we work. And as we do, what we realize is that work is a way in which we worship. See, your jobs matter to God. They matter to God because He has created you, designed you to work. And as you work, you are bringing glory to God. You are bearing His image in you. And your work is attached to the kingdom of God, that God is using you to love and serve others, to provide for your own needs, to not be a burden to others, to be a way in which your witness. God is using your job as a way to build character, to be a witness to the outside world. See, brothers and sisters, most importantly, our job really is an act of worship to Christ. And so we should approach our jobs as that, as we're working unto the Lord, because that's what we are to do in every area of our life. Every area of our life is to be an act of worship to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just ask for your help and your grace today.